Tonight we're going to bed with a celeb who's a British-born singer, songwriter, muso and entertainer whose singing career has spanned 4 decades. He is Leo Sayer. Welcome back to Nights, Leo.
Oh, well, I'm just tucking in. This is very nice.
can you describe your bedroom to us?
Well, my bedroom is very simple. I have a nice old French kind of... It's not really a four-poster. It's like one of those... they call it a bark. You know, it's like the shape on the side of the wood. It almost looks like a sailing. I feel like that guy in the kid with the tiger on the boat, the Life of Pi.
Mm.
When I get into this bed, because you feel like you're going to sail off.
Oh, nice!
It's very, very nice, and lovely white linen sheets, and it's all very simple. My partner Donatella keeps everything in ship-shape order, it must be said. So my little room, she's got her room. My little room is just very simple and very basic. No TV in the bedroom.
Oh.
Not much entertainment. My iPad's usually plugged in because I like to read Kindle books on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And so and a couple of books around, and you know, just very, very simple, very comfy, but very sleepy atmosphere.
Oh.
I'm just toying with painting the whole room dark brown at the moment.
Oh, really?
Like a chocolate brown. So it really feels like a slumber patch.
Yeah.
Because you see, the thing is, when you get to my age, I'm 67 this year, sleep is so important. And yet, you know, you kind of end up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes still wide awake.
Yeah.
Especially with ideas and songs, you know.
Yeah, the brain's always ticking
the
over.
The brain is ticking over. And so I need somewhere which really induces me to sleep.
Hmm. Well, what are you reading on your Kindle iPad at the moment?
What am I reading? I'm reading a wonderful book based in the Amazon by, and it's a true story, but it's a life adventure kind of thing, where a journalist for National Geographic went with an amazing guy called Sidney Pozuelo to find lost tribes.
Mm.
Now I'm trying to think of the title, and offhand I can't even think of it. But it's The Search for the Lost Tribes of the Amazon, basically it's called. And they go to kind of make contact, however fleetingly, but they don't really want to make contact because they don't want to really disturb these lost tribes, but to prove that they're there. And right at the minute, they've just encountered the arrow people, who are famous for flying arrows down little darts, poison darts. So if they see them, they're going to be in major trouble.
Well, that could be the next song then, couldn't it?
But it's very exciting. You know, you couldn't be in a more remote place, more creepy crawlies and nasty things that can kill you out there.
Yeah.
And almost a completely primitive world.
And you're...
So it's something that we're not used to.
No, very different to our world.
Something that's very valuable because the guy that is his guide really wants to make contact. He's kind of like the guard of all of these tribes. He wants to leave them untouched.
Mm.
Because, of course, you know, the Spanish conquistadors went right in there. And, of course, you know, even a common cold would completely floor and decimate an entire tribe. You'd never see them again.
Yeah.
So trying to keep this primitive world going, it's quite a balance.
It's going to be a fascinating read. And what, apart from your own album, Restless Years, what's playing in the car these days?
Blimey. A bit of Keith Jarrett at the moment and some Brazilian music. Anything but what I do. But funny enough, playing stuff like that sometimes inspires good songs out of me because, you know, you hear little melodies and little bits that, you know, help you make connect up the dots. Because I usually think in words when I'm songwriting.
Mm.
The subject matter and what I'm saying, the message is always the most important thing. And then it's kind of, I'm trying to think, you know, how to phrase that musically and how to put those ideas down. And on Restless Years, of course, there's many songs that start off with a narrative like that, you know, songs about the planet and songs about different subjects and songs about, you know, how you're feeling and where you're going in life and your philosophy. So you've got to find the kind of musical template to put them in. So I like to listen to stuff that is not obviously mainstream, a little bit obscure, but kind of atmospheric and kind of challenging.
Mm.
I like to go to places, as it were.
Yeah, in your head?
Absolutely.
Mm.
And in the car.
And in the car. What's in the garage, the Leo Sayer garage?
Oh, it's a big Volkswagen. But it's called a Touareg.
Oh yes,
it's a big V8, and it's the last of the V8. So It's a bit getting a bit ancient now, but I'm holding on to it because I love the big engine.
Mm.
And it's fantastic. And I, you know, not everywhere in Australia these days, it could be very politically correct to drive such a big behemoth around. But just on the open road, it's a fantastic vehicle to have, you know.
Yeah.
And I like to sort of, you know, pull up beside Land Cruisers and knock them into the weeds on the open road. You know?
Yes, a painter mate of mine, Tino, has one of those and he loves it.
Well, it's fantastic. It's like I look at it as a mobile office sometimes because, you know, it's kind of, it's not too crazily big, but it's big enough to kind of do everything you need to in the day and feel really cosseted.
Yeah.
And also the high driving position for little fellas like me is really quite nice, actually.
Oh, it's like you're driving in your
it's
lounge
quite
room.
Secure. Yeah, I feel like I'm driving a school bus.
My special guest going to bed with a celeb tonight is none other than Leo Sayer, who calls Australia home these days. And I go back to the 80s with you when I first met you in Tassie. Only thing is, I look older, but you don't. So you have you got a painting aging in the attic?
I know, Dorian Gray's somewhere looking over us, isn't he? I don't know. Look, I just feel very blessed and very lucky that somehow my face matches my spirit. I think that's the best way to put it. And my hair's still there, which is incredible.
Yeah,
but then again, my dad had a fantastic head of hair. And, you know, when he died around about 77... He had this incredible sort of fringe. You know, I mean, his hairline was still intact.
Wow.
And I was always amazed at that. But, you know, so I didn't know if I was going to pick up the same thing. But there again, I have, you know. So
yeah.
Looks like I'm and my hairdresser doesn't claim I'm balding. So, although he's probably trying to make more money out of me. But, oh, yes, Leo, I'll say anything you want. No, no, I seem to be strong. My health is not too bad.
Mm.
Got a bit of Crohn's disease and a little bit of, you know, irritable bowel, which follows me around a bit. But, you know, other than that, I'm pretty good. I can still move on stage just about.
Mm.
And, and people think I'm very young for my age and I have a good spirit, you know. So that's good. If that can make if that can be something positive and nice to kind of, you know, give back to people, then that's a good thing, I think.
Well, you've made us feel like dancing for...
thanks, mate.
What, 4 decades now? Fantastic. Since your debut 73 hit, The Show Must Go On,
Yeah. You've
carved an incredible career worldwide. You've sold 80 million albums. Would you love a dollar for every album?
Oh, I'd like to have made even 10 worth. It never works out quite like that. I mean, I always say that, I mean, every artist, you know, in the entire business, I don't think any of us really made what we earned, you know, back personally.
Mm.
It all went to somebody else. That's just how it goes. That's life.
Mm.
But I don't regret that. I'm too busy enjoying making the music and enjoying, you know, sort of all the milestones that come along. Because every now and then, you know, you make a new record or something like that and you feel like, wow, that's pushed the barometer up a little bit. You know,
yeah.
I've proved that I can do this now, and I've done that, and so they're all mini achievements. And I don't think that they are there for recompense. I think that they're there because your heart drives you to do it.
Yeah.
And I think if you just got enough money to string together to live a good and private life, and here I am living in a lovely house in the Southern Highlands, and which I've just bought, and we're doing it up, and you know, life is good.
Mm.
Can't complain. I drive a nice car. You know, I sleep in a very lovely part of the world. I can't complain.
And you do what you love.
Trees and birds. It's great.
Mm. Yeah, lots of birds.
Must be going right.
You've been out buying bird seed today.
I have been buying bird seed, yes. I've just been looking out at all the birds around here and looking at the bird bulbs and the bird trays outside and thinking, this needs topping up.
Yeah.
So just before I went to bed, I went out and had a quick shop.
Good on you, mate. And congrats on the new album. You talk about milestones. This is just moving forward with your career, Restless Years. And has it been a beautiful year for you, or have you found life's gotten harder and fear is taking over the world?
It's funny that the song Beautiful Year is kind of almost said in a cynical way. It's kind of, it could have been a beautiful year because basically it's all about opportunities lost in a way. Imagine that sort of John Lennon and Bob Marley and someone who kind of, you know, someone who's maybe thinking with the same ethics in the 60s and 70s, thought that the world would all change, thought that we'd all have a much kind of more peaceful world and everything, and then wakes up, say, last year and thinks, blimey, you know, haven't we learned anything? Mm. So that's what this is about, and it's about someone like a Rip Van Winkle who wakes up, you know, in this modern age where we're kind of, you know, we live by fear and all of these things. It's a bit sad, really. I think that, you know, I think in my youth, and a lot of our youths, you know, this is what people tell me as well, that, you know, follow me, life seemed to be simpler and less complicated and less doomy, really, less desperate, you know. So we all seem to be a slave to what other people tell us to do these days, and I feel we've lost some freedoms, and that's what that's about.
Yeah. And last year, a DJ won an ARIA for Best Live Act. Do you think that singers and musos who actually perform live will win out in the end?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. You're alluding to the song Competing with a DJ. Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, look, he just swans in with his records and, you know, under his arm is CDs and a USB stick and walks straight on and plays and, you know, doesn't probably break sweat. Meanwhile, I'm feeding the band and trying to make them happy and trying to check that the van's not getting locked up and, you know, all the things that can go wrong. That's what that song's about. We start off by competing for the same job and then we're competing for the same girl and, you know. And
That's life.
It's done with a lot of humour, put it like that.
Tongue in cheek.
But it is ironic that our business is kind of, you know, filled with people who make and create music and then on the other side, people who kind of use music already created. Put it like that. And I'm not hung up about it, but it beggars belief, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's a little bit like a painter, you know, sort of going to lunch with a printmaker. They've got nothing to talk about, really, have they?
Good point. Different discourse.
Or a cyclist and a motorist, you know.
And while we're showcasing the album Restless Used, did you write the radio song for blokes who were working in music radio?
You got that. I mean, it's about a kind of, it's about a guy who loses his job to the computer at the radio station. You know, now we've got a playlist. I'm just about to go on to Smooth FM and do something, and it's really funny. They send me a playlist of their top 500 tracks, and I'm supposed to pick 20 songs out of that, and I'm going, I'm struggling, man, because, you know, what everybody else likes is not always what, you know, us picky individualists like. And I'm thinking, why couldn't you send me your 500 least most popular? Because that would have probably been all of my choices. But the computer seems to have kind of taken away from all of those guys that absolutely love, live and breathe the music, you know. And I think of my friend Glenn A. Baker, who every time you see him, he's eulogizing about another track and another song and pulling out some detail that he's just discovered in all encouragement. I reckon that guy never, ever stops learning about music.
No.
So I think of all those characters, and I like the idea of a DJ who lives the life and literally kind of, this is a radio DJ, of course, who literally talks in songs. So when Kathy's Clown was talk of the town, we were deeper and down, going round and around, you know? So he tells his life from those song titles. I must admit, I was very nervous when I took it to my publisher because I didn't know if I could get away with it. Because you'd think that, you know, along with a lot of, you know, famous lyrics and the famous melodies, that might be sacrosanct, but apparently not. You can do it with song titles. So, you know, it gets the chorus and he sings like a stranger on the shore, feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. And it's intriguing that I could get away with it. So that kind of spurred me on.
Well done. And talking songs, every now and again, as an artist, you must have a song that slips through the cracks. I mean, I know it happens even to Bruce Springsteen. So what's it like when you get to revisit one of those songs?
You know, funny enough, you talk about Bruce Springsteen. It's a bit like that song, 57 Channels and Nothing On, you know, that he wrote about the TV, you know, endless TV in America. And it's true, you know, you find these ideas and they're very compelling. Sometimes the idea writes the song for you, and that definitely happened with Radio Song. It was actually quite a hard one to find, you know, how to go musically. And like you say, it's a talking song in the end.
Yeah, and on this album, Restless Years, you're also working closely with one of the great songwriter, Albert Hammett, OBE.
Yeah, well, that happened because about 12 years ago or so, we started writing an album for him. We were writing songs together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't manage to get... It was funny, actually, because we started off writing for me, but I didn't manage to get a record deal happening at the time. We were, in those days, still relying on record companies, and, of course, they were more interested in the new young things than a bloke like me. So I naively kind of ran along with a bunch of songs, and I said, Leo, don't know if the market's ready for anything more by you yet. You know, this is the swings and roundabouts that we, the peaks and troughs that we go through on a long career. But it was cool because we straight away said, right, let's make one for you. Albert says, right, I'm going to make an album. I don't care, you know, I'm going to do it. So let's write some songs for me. So we did it, and we wrote an album called Revolution of the Heart, which is on the, you know, that song is on there. And Restless Years was there as well. So it was time for me to do my versions of those songs as well, you know. But they sounded great with him doing it as well. And hats off to him that we took on some very serious subjects. But like me, he has a strong social conscience. We'd both got to the point where we'd, of course, both of us, particularly Albert, had written some of the great classic love songs, like When I Need You and To All the Girls I've Loved Before. He said, I want to write something that means something. So, you know, we were tackling subjects together that you know, although, say, in Revolution of the Heart, you know, the idea that love can conquer the world and love can replace every bad thing that we've got, that's a pretty standard thing. So, you know, it's kind of challenging sometimes to go away from the things that you're known for writing and do something different. So hats off to him to doing it.
Yeah.
And I think we came up with some brilliant stuff.
Oh, you certainly
And the other thing was interesting was that when we were writing, I mean, Albert's known for his melodies, and I guess I'm known for my lyrics, but you couldn't tell where the paths crossed. You know, we were both writing everything. He was coming up with wonderful words, and I was coming up with strong melodies. So that's what was interesting about that partnership. And I know, so I'm very proud of the songs that have made it to here, you know, and Look Around and To the River, which is basically a story about the birth of music all the way from... you know, like the Mississippi River and the blues, right across the world, you know, to where we are now.
Well,
so I'm kind of very proud of those songs.
Well, you should be very proud of the whole album. It's great, and congratulations,
thank you,
mate.
Well, I'm trying to make a lot of contrast in it as well, because to me, I go back to, you know, those old albums like Sgt. Pepper and you know, Carole King's great albums, and you know, you had so many different colours and so many different moods in those songs, and I think that's an important thing to do. So many records these days, you've just got one theme going the way through, and I wanted to kind of upset that a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's working, you know.
And I love that you've paid tribute to a soap opera with the title Restless Years.
So... Well, it wasn't meant to be. I mean, the song was already there, and I thought, what a brilliant title for the album, because it seems like, you know, the work's still going on, and I'm still thinking of ideas, and like we were saying right at the start of the interview, I mean, I don't sleep too well these days because I'm always thinking of ideas. The mind is burning. So these feel like the Restless Years, but it wasn't really linked with that, and it was only afterwards somebody told me the connotation, I went, oh, no, should I change it? And then I thought, nah, you're all right.
No, it's working.
It could be your Restless Years, Leo.
Exactly. Leo Sayer, thanks for joining us in Go to Bed with a Celeb.
Good night.
Nowhere, easy going, like you don't care. Find a station, get off somewhere in your restless years. Hold on when your dreams are fading. Can't see all that you're creating. Rainbows that you can't stop chasing through your restless years.
The title track from Leo Sayer's album, Restless Years. Tonight, as we went to bed with the celeb, the British-born singer, songwriter, muso, entertainer with a 4-decade-plus career. That was fun.